We talked to Greg Wyshynski from ESPN, presented by ESPN Bet Sportsbook. Greg, good morning. What's up?
Did I hear you guys talk about ACT scores this morning?
We were. Did you get on your ACT?
I was in the 99th percentile on my ACTs. And let me tell you that were it not for that, I don't think I would have gotten the kind of help I got to get into Maryland, where I went to college. Like, my SAT score was very – remember, I'm like really old, right? So my SAT score was like the old SAT, where it was like the scores were lower and stuff. And I forget exactly what I got on it. But my ACT, I like killed it. I don't know. Like, it was – you know, it was like a 7-point night for me when I took my ACTs, it was like my calling card to like get into college and stuff. So I proudly flaunt my ACT acumen. I'm sure if I took that test today, I'd probably be in like the 30th percentile because of age and drinking. But at that time, man, I killed it.
Yeah, I would have had no shot, that's for sure, today. So you came on with us at the beginning of the season, and you said that you had picked the Predators to make the playoffs. Are you taking victory laps with your colleagues yet, you know, watching what they're doing right now, going for a 19-game point streak, or have you started the celebration as of yet?
Well, as long as they don't notice, I also picked the Devils to make the playoffs, and picked the Lightning to miss the playoffs. Then I think I'll be in good shape, and I can trumpet my expertise on the Predators. I just thought again, like to go back to the beginning of the season, the mindset. I mean, listen, nobody, including myself, thought they'd be this torrid at this point in the season. But like, I certainly thought that mix of veterans and young players, if they got enough goaltending, and eventually they did, and just the complete change in vibes of bringing in Barry Trotz back to the organization and bringing in a guy in Andrew Brunette, who I knew was going to get these guys skating and playing a style of hockey that speaks to the moment in this league versus trying to do something that maybe fell out of fashion like 5 years ago. Like, it all added up to them being competitive in a conference that I thought was a lot more in flux down the order than people maybe thought. I mean, like, the wild card to me was wide open, and the Predators certainly had the opportunity to get in there, and hell, they still probably have an opportunity to get in the top three in the Central if they keep playing as well as they are.
What did you think about the other night, though? Down 4-1, and then they battle back in the third period to win in overtime.
Yeah, I mean, and it's the opponent, right? Like, an opponent that clearly isn't what they're going to be in the playoffs. I mean, they're going to get other guys back the first, you know, in game one of the first round, as they do, but... But I mean, yeah, that was the impressive part of it. And again, like, just this never say die thing. And again, that's part of the thing that Andrew Brunette's teams have shown. I mean, I can't give him all the credit for the way the Devils played last year, but he clearly had an influence on that team to the point where the guy that he was coaching with is no longer coaching the team. And that was a team that had sort of a never say die attitude. They were confident that they were going to be able to rally in games based on the style and the system that they played. And I think that the Predators, on some nights, you can see the same sort of DNA in their makeup.
Greg, in 2018, you know, the Capitals won the Stanley Cup. Barry Trotz was the head coach. I know he wasn't the GM, but are there any similarities at all in that Capitals team in 2018, what you're seeing from the Preds now? Because I'm sure Barry had a little influence on that team, but are there any kind of similarities from these two?
Well, I mean, other than, you know, trying to rely on the goaltending as much as you can, I mean, in that instance, Barry kind of backed the wrong horse at one point where he thought Philip Grubauer was going to be the guy to lead them, and it ended up being Braden Holtby instead. I mean, obviously, but the bottom line is that the Cavs had pretty solid goaltending on which to build. Two different situations, to be honest with you. I think the Predators are a team that is clearly, you know, has a veteran core that has done quite well, but is clearly trying to transition to maybe a younger generation of player. And reaping the benefits of having both those generations doing, you know, great things to the team right now. And that Capitals team was much more, I think psychological heavy lifting. I think he probably had to play therapist on that team more than he wanted to, insofar as all of those playoff disappointments stacked on one on top of each other, and then finally getting past the Penguins in that playoff run to win the Cup. Two different situations, but I mean, like, the way that Barry Trotz likes to build out from the crease might be the best similarity.
What you watch this Predator team now, you know, since that awful loss to Dallas back in mid-February, 9-2, are you sitting there and, you know, you're scrolling through and you're like, God, they're winning again. They're going to lose tonight. They're winning again. How are you taking all this when you watch this hockey team play? Because now they've gone this historic streak here in Nashville. Then people are like, what in the world is going on?
Well, I mean, you know, obviously we know why it's happened. It's because their souls were crushed by not getting to see Where the Streets Have No Name played inside the theater. We all know that's the hockey fable that's been written about this team. But the thing I keep coming back to about the Predators, and I think that the closer we get to awards voting, the more we're going to hear about it, is Roman Josi. Like, I think our next awards watch, our last one actually before the voting is done, I think it's going to run next Wednesday on ESPN, and I'd be shocked if Josi isn't in the top three for the Norris. He hasn't been all season. There's still some, you know, noise about maybe Victor Hedman from the Lightning being up in there with Quinn Hughes and Kale McCarr. But, you know, I think that Josi is a guy that clearly gets a lion's share of credit for how this team has played in the last month. I think that you could make an argument that he probably also deserves a little bit of MVP love for the way that he's played for this team. And I do wonder, because sometimes these awards inherently have some recency bias in the way that they're voted on, you know, whether maybe like a guy like Quinn Hughes has peaked too soon and a guy like Roman Josi has the opportunity to maybe catch up to him the way that he's played for the Predators during the streak. I mean, anyone who thinks the Preds aren't getting noticed, like outside of Nashville, like, please understand they're getting noticed. Like, people are like, wow, this Nashville team is fun and it's cool and it's been really exciting to see. The U2 thing, you know, we joked about it, but it's obviously like a calling card for the team in front of a lot of people and getting them on people's radars. And because of that, I think that Josi is going to get a lot of attention in the next few weeks when it comes to the awards voting.
Greg Wyshynski is with us here on the Chase and Big Joe show. Do you think that there could be some others that work their way into the awards, whether it's Bruno or Barry Trotz, even as GM of the Year?
I hate GM of the Year. I really do. I hate that award so much. Because honestly, like it's always, I know that they like vote on it through the second round of the playoffs. And, you know, a lot of it is kind of like, what did you do last summer? What did you do at the trade deadline kind of stuff. But I mean, we really don't know how all of this works out until like 3 years from now, right? Like these trades, sure. You know, the draft picks that you gave up, that sort of thing. And let me sidebar something real quick. I'll say that Bruno, for me, should get a lot of Jack Adams love. It is going to be a pretty crowded field. I mean, you're going to have Tortorella, you're going to have Tockett, you're going to have Jim Montgomery with the Bruins. It's going to be a really crowded field. But I made the case yesterday, I'll make it again here. You know who should be GM of the Year? It should be Mike Greer with the San Jose Sharks. Because, like, it should be the guy who does his job the best, right?
Well, yeah, it's a rebuild. Job,
yeah, this guy's job was to be as horrible as you possibly can be to get the first overall pick, and they've clearly got the best lottery odds right now. And on top of that, you know, dumped a bunch of those long-term contracts that they had in their books, got, you know, a decent return for them. But, like, the most important thing is that they're not responsible for paying Tomas Hertl for several seasons or Erik Karlsson for several seasons. So, I mean, you know, if you look at the parameters of what somebody is supposed to do and what their task is, there's few guys that have done it as well as Mike Greer on top of, you know, building a roster that I think has, like, at last count a minus 133 goal differential in the standings, which is like a goal differential that some teams couldn't amass over the course of three seasons, let alone one. So he's got my vote for GM of the Year. I don't have a vote, but if I did, I'd give it to him because I think he did his job the best.
Well done. Before we get out of here, Greg, Chase and I, we're big on mental health and helping other guys going through problems and things. And I see, you know, the Capitals, Ethan Barry, he entered the player assistance program. I'm the outside looking in. I think the NHL has done a great job, Greg. You might know, have more information than I do, of accepting these guys, helping these guys out, because at the end of the day, they're just like you and me, right? I mean, they're human beings. And so do you think the NHL has done a great job of doing this, getting the word out and letting guys come in and say, look, I need help?
From the program itself's perspective, I've heard good things and I've heard okay things about it. Like, I think that there are some guys that have had really good experiences going through the player assistance program and it worked out great. And then there are some people that maybe were left wanting a little bit more from it, to be honest with you. But the bigger picture answer on that is that I think the NHL and the NHLPA have done a really good job destigmatizing mental health and destigmatizing guys looking for help if they've got a problem with substance abuse or depression or things like that. I think that's the biggest thing. Like, you could always tweak the program and make it better. But the biggest first obstacle is creating an environment where these guys feel comfortable asking for help. And I think that we can say that the NHL and the NHLPA have done a pretty good job of doing that, even within like the last 10 years. I think that players are definitely more comfortable coming forward. And I think you can credit the program with that.
Good, good, good. Yeah, for sure. Greg, appreciate it as always. We'll talk to you next week.
Anytime. Thanks for having me.